This is the Vet Alumni Podcast with Tech and Prem.
Vet Alumni Podcast. I'm Tech. He's Prem. Music producers talking Philly sports. And hey, this is our 50th show. So
wow.
Who else better to do it with than John Barchard, Vince Quinn,
yes.
The Bell and the Birdman. Guys, the Eagles, they're a joke. What do you think? Where are we at?
Well, yeah. Well, I know where you're at because you're here with a Raiders hat on. So
you're goddamn right I am.
Unreal.
Which is unbelievable. It is completely unbelievable.
That is it. That's where I'm at.
No, the team is a dumpster fire, and it's amazing because, I mean, we knew it was a new coaching staff and a young roster and all this growth and all this different stuff. And like, oh, it's the long con of what happens over the season. And after 7 weeks, it's fire the coaches, fire Roseman.
I know.
Jeffrey Lurie should sell the team. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's gone nuclear.
He should sell the team.
Well,
by the way.
For the record, I had them at 2-5. I think Tech had them at 1-6.
I did.
I said it was a 2-year plan. Like, from the jump.
I don't believe it's a 2-year plan.
Yeah, but do you want year two of this?
Does Sirianni even make it to year two? Is my question. What
no,
do you
I don't
think
so. How could he? John, what do you think?
How could this coaching staff be this bad?
Yeah.
You know, like maybe I'm a sucker, but I don't believe that the talent on this team is 2-5 bad.
No.
It just is not. It can't be. This quarterback is not 2-5 bad. Miles Sanders is not 2-5 bad.
I agree
with you. Dallas Goedert is not 2-5 bad. That whole entire offensive line, not 2-5 bad. These guys suck. And man, do they suck hard. And I'm starting to really buy into, we can forget theories. We can forget tinfoil hat theories, Vince Quinn. and boys, I don't know how you feel about this. They are tanking. And talk about overreaction on a Monday. I quote tweeted Joe Banner, who says, Howie is going to survive this. He said that today.
Unbelievable.
So I just go, dot, dot, dot. Is he tanking? No response, no like, no anything. Joe Banner literally tweets at everything, and he didn't respond to me. So I believe the tank is on until I'm proven otherwise, Vince Quinn. I think you were right on the money.
Tech agrees, too. Tech thinks the same
thing. Yeah, I mean, look, Vince, you said it's going nuclear. Yeah, I mean, it does start at the top. You have to replace the general manager, okay? You have to replace the entire coaching staff. Then you have to rebuild half, at least half of the defense. Then you have to get a franchise quarterback. Now, I know you're a Hurts guy, John. I mean, look, we've been Hurts guys.
We've been Hurts guys from the
beginning.
Jump. Yeah, we have.
You got to get a franchise quarterback. This is more than 2 years. This is the beginning of the Eagles process. This is where we are at right now. The beginning of their process.
Hold on. Do they need a franchise quarterback right now? And here's what I'm saying is team stinks.
True.
Coaching stinks. Biggest value, your biggest window to win, it's rookie contract.
Absolutely.
So do you rush to get a guy now when you don't have anything figured out and you might change all of it? No. Get team. Just get players that can play.
I agree with you, Vince. That's I don't think that you throw the towel in on Jalen after 7 games in an offense that clearly doesn't have a clue what they're doing 75% of the time. They come out, it's funny because they come out a lot of these games, they look rather good early, and then they just completely fall off the face of the earth. And then they have a surge in the fourth quarter because it's trailing and the defense is lighting up and they're playing soft coverage. And now you get all these yards that are amassed, but it really masks how bad they actually are.
Well,
statistically.
Now let's talk about the news. Joe Flacco traded to the Jets for a conditional 6th-round pick, which sets up Gardner Minshew now as QB2. I mean, this is the scenario I thought would happen where Hurts continues to struggle and then the demands for Gardner Minshew in this city with this fan base just continue to get louder and louder.
No,
and that's what's going to happen
in a few
weeks.
I don't like it. I think you just let Hurts play through it. Let him play through it.
I hear you.
He's young.
I'm telling you what's going to happen.
Let him just play through the problems, play through the losing. It builds character in a quarterback. I mean, look,
I don't think Jalen Hurts
is no Donovan McNabb yet. Maybe he never will be. He's no Peyton Manning. But I will say that Peyton Manning had, 20-something interceptions his first year starting?
You're right about that.
Some of these guys come in, and they just can't play the position well, and they get better. Look, Michael Vick wasn't even a good passer, and so what, his 6th season, 7th season? I mean, these things happen.
You just mentioned 2 guys that have unbelievable arms.
Well, right.
Where Jalen Hurts, his arm is underwhelming.
I don't see that. He made a 60-yard pass in the air falling backwards the other day, bro. How do you do that if your arm strength isn't there? It wasn't. He didn't complete the pass, but he's falling backwards. Go. He threw the ball 60 yards in
he's
the air.
He's not accurate.
That's the problem. Accuracy and arm strength are not the same thing.
I hear you. He's just not making the right throws at the right time.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
And
he tends to
just jet out after one read.
And he misses some of the open guys. Yeah, he misses open guys.
They had him lined up under center for one drive, okay? More run than pass on the ratio of him lining up under center. It worked, and then they never did it again. Right back to RPO.
We were getting excited at the Henry James there, weren't we, guys?
Oh, yeah, we were, because we had a counter before the game. We were like, all right, Miles Sanders, 10 carries. And we're like, maybe. And then first drive, he had at least four.
Yeah.
And it was like,
I think he had five.
He looked focused. He looked determined. The vision was good. The line was playing well. I mean, the Raiders' front is nothing special. But still, it's still good to
see
them executing.
You exploited them, and then you just didn't anymore. You just went back to your RPO thing. Why? Yeah.
Well, Gainwell fumbled as part of it. And
that was
run
big.
With him. Like, you have two similar guys now.
By the way, I didn't think that was a fumble, by the way. I thought he got robbed.
It's because they
that.
Called it a fumble on the field. You know how that goes. There's not enough to overturn it.
They couldn't see it, and they went with the call.
Right.
It was a fumble.
It was close. I thought it was a fumble. It was hard to tell, but that's a tough thing. You made that call.
When Kenny Gainwell doesn't have an argument on the sideline camp, like when they cut to him, yeah, I was like, all right.
you make a good point. We're reaching for straws.
He was saying, I was down.
Regardless, they should have ran more. I don't even know, because again, it's Kenny Gainwell and Boston Scott. They're the same guy.
They are.
You don't have anything now. Like, what are they going to do over the next couple of weeks?
I don't know.
It's the Jordan Howard experience, baby.
I don't mind Jordan Howard. He's still kind of young.
Where's he been?
I mind him a lot. He is no value to me. I don't get why he's on the team. I don't think he belongs in the league.
He's only like 28, though.
I know, but he
looked good in the preseason, did he not?
He's only 28? Did that just come out of your mouth?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's not at the 30 mark. He's not old by running back standards yet.
Yes, he is. He's dead.
Yeah,
I don't know, man.
I think he's done. Because think about
the bottom
this.
Line is you don't want to have to rely on Jordan Howard.
Think
you don't
about
ever
the
want
circumstances
that.
Of Jordan Howard getting here, because he was running for like 1,300 yards with the Bears as a 24-year-old on a fifth-round rookie contract. And they were like, yep, here you go. Like, they didn't believe in him.
True.
And then he had a decent season here, too. But then, like, yeah, he just doesn't have it. But that's going to be the guy now. Like, if they're going to run the ball, if they're going to use any running game whatsoever, you're going to see a lot of Jordan.
Well, there is a guy named Todd Gurley on the street.
Oh, my God. Is Todd Gurley on the street?
Wow. Is he? Oh, my God.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying to go get him. Todd Gurley is 26 years old, and he's on the street.
I'd rather see Todd Gurley than Jordan Howard.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Absolutely. I'd rather pee than poop. That's like, I don't know.
No, actually.
Well, it depends on what you ate.
Yeah, if you have a good poop, that's a life changer.
There's nothing
sometimes.
Like a good poop.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Top five feeling. Good
well,
poop.
Didn't Jalen Hurts commented. Jalen Hurts commented on that.
Wait. Back that up. That is so not true. Like, pee's got to be number one in terms of the. There's no such thing as a good poop. There's only release.
There's no such thing as a good poop?
No, you just.
Jalen Hurts would disagree because he said a couple press conferences ago.
Yes, that's right. Hurts would disagree.
He said you flush it and you move on.
And you forget it, yes.
But that's not true either, because everybody looks. Anyway, I'm sorry. We're getting way too deep in the pee-pee poop.
Absolutely. We'll do, we'll
Speaking
do some
of
editing.
Poop, Nick Sirianni, he is a complete joke. And now we find out that other guys who were more qualified to be an NFL head coach wouldn't take the interview because of Howie and the current power structure that the Eagles have.
Maybe that's why Josh McDaniels didn't want to come here, or it didn't work out with Josh. Because how do you interview Josh McDaniels and then Nick Sirianni and say, you know what, we're going to go with this Sirianni guy versus a guy that has been in 7 Super Bowls? I don't understand.
Bewildering. I'm bewildered when I
watch
this game.
They all have eyes. You know, like we talked about this on the postgame podcast. They whether we like it or not, they fired a Super Bowl coach 3 years after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
So then before that, this guy hired Chip Kelly. Everybody remembers that.
Yeah.
Everybody still remembers the power struggle between Andy Reid, who, by the way, won a Super Bowl, went back to another, and despite them looking like disjointed and terrible, still have one of the best offenses in the league, and I hope Patrick Mahomes is okay.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, there's nothing left to see here. So they want it that way, too, it seems like. You know, like, they want the biggest and brightest, but under the thumb, always. So
right.
I don't know who's more at bay here. Like, when we get into these conversations all the time, I just want to remind everybody, and I agree, it's not, I need a fresh new Howie Roseman too. But, like, Jeffrey Lurie is should be probably the answer as well when we bring these things up. You know, like,
oh, definitely.
Why Howie Roseman's name will always stay in the news like that. One, he's the general manager, so duh. But two, we've talked about this too. Agents hate Howie Roseman.
Yeah.
So his name is always going to be there. What they mean is because of Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman. Because of Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman, they are making decisions together. As I just said, Joe Banner just told us, even no matter if they go 2-15 now, Howie Roseman is not losing his job. There's a way that they like to do things with coaches, and there is definitely a power. I think Chip scared the shit out of them so much that they never, ever
want to get control again. It's the psychology of that. It's the psychology behind the Chip Kelly failure.
Well, yeah, when you trade LeSean McCoy for no reason.
They won a Super Bowl while doing this. So why on earth would they listen to anybody else?
Right, exactly. No,
Jeffrey Lurie thinks that he's cracked the code. That's what he thinks. He thinks he's cracked the code on how to do this. He's done it his way.
He thinks he's a football
guy.
And he's
right. He thinks he's a football
guy. Yeah.
He's not a football guy.
His son now thinks that he's a football guy. This is what you got going on in that building.
I heard a funny take on his son not being able to dress.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's in the owner's box and, like, he's in, like, a sweatsuit or something. I don't know what it was.
Flip-flops or something.
He's like, this guy's going to take over this franchise and in a couple years.
Oh, yes. Who said that?
Like a Tommy Boy moment?
Something like that. Yeah, exactly. Tommy Boy. What a great drop on that. Tommy Boy. We got to cue something up from Tommy Boy Tech.
Maybe. All right. real quick, let's not forget.
Did you eat paint chips as a kid?
Let's make sure it doesn't. That's a good one, actually. Let's make sure it doesn't get lost in all this that the Sixers and the Flyers both started their seasons with two wins and a loss. We'll get into it when we enter the center.
Yes.
But first, brought to you by Proline Music, everything for the musician. It's time for Vet Fact.
This is a Vet Fact.
It's that time, isn't it? Well, gentlemen, October 26th, 1980, during their first Super Bowl year, the Birds beat the Bears at home 17-14. It's 14-14 through three quarters, but a chip shot field goal by Tony Franklin sealed it up late. The Birds defense had two key interceptions and held Chicago to 238 yards of total offense. Billy Campfield and Louis Giamona both found the end zone as the Birds moved to 7-1. Even though they failed to cover a 7-point spread. It was a cold October day, just 45 degrees with a 20-mile-per-hour wind, which explains why Jaws didn't throw for 100 yards.
Jaws.
And actually was replaced by backup quarterback Joe Pisarcik at some point as well.
Pisarcik.
Is that how you say that?
Yeah, okay. Pisarcik.
You know who Joe Pisarcik is, right?
He played for the Giants as well.
And what infamous game is he involved in?
No idea, John. I'm glad that you're trying to
Miracle of the Meadowlands, baby.
Oh, wow. Oh. Wow.
He's the one that Herm Edwards picked it up from. So he played for I believe, the year after because they picked him up the next year.
Phenomenal. That's a nice little tidbit to add to our vet fact here, John. Thank you. It was a 4 p.m. start. It was cold and windy. October 26, 1980, 17-14 Birds over the Bears. That's your vet fact.
All right.
Love it.
Let's talk about Fletcher Cox. He called out Jonathan Gannon after the game.
Trade him. Sell, trade him.
Entire D-line has been horrendous. I mean, I got to say, they don't get home at all. Nobody gets home. They gave this money to Josh Sweat. I haven't seen a thing out of him since they gave him the money. And Fletcher Cox is basically saying that the scheme that they're running is not palpable for the way he wants to play.
Basically saying compatible. That they're not doing what they said they would do and base the scheme on the players they have, which we've heard since Sirianni was hired, that's what they're going
to
do.
And that doesn't seem to be the case at all.
Right.
At
what do you, Vince, do you agree with that? What do you think?
Yeah, it's completely evident. I mean, it's a miracle that... How many sacks does Hargrave have? Like five?
Something like that.
Yeah. How? Yeah. I wonder if Gannon yelled at him after the game. He's like, hey, you shouldn't be getting back there. You need to, I don't know, stand there so the linebackers cannot make a tackle. I'm not sure what he wants them to do.
What linebackers?
It's a joke.
What linebackers?
Well, yeah, but it's crazy because if you look at the defensive line, right? Like, I'm so distraught with all of the coaching and so questioning with everything.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's killing Ryan Kerrigan right now, which I get. He has one tackle in seven games. But also, is the Gannon factor bad that, like, everybody's tanked? Cox, Sweat, Barnett, Milton Williams hasn't done anything.
Yeah, what happened to Milton?
Barnett stinks.
Don't kick a man while he's down. Good Lord.
Oh, Milton Williams is hurt?
Yeah, did he get hurt last year?
Did he do anything up to now? I'm not saying he's like, I'm not saying I hope he stays hurt.
That's fair.
And neither's Tech. But like looking at him, it's just one of those things where when the whole unit is underperforming, you got to think there's a
bigger issue.
Well,
look, Derek Carr went 31 of 34.
He was unstoppable. We made him look unstoppable.
Well, our defense
did you guys
is
see
on
the
a
group tweet.
No, was it about the completion percentage rate? Right,
yeah.
We're on a historic mark.
It was eye popping.
Yeah, what is
what
it?
He said.
Yeah, so the greatest completion percentage of all time. This is just my brain here. Oh, this is a different one, but related. So this is from Paul Hembekides, which I totally blew that, but all the same.
Hembekides, maybe. I know what you're talking about.
Best completion percentage in a season all time in the NFL, 74.4. Drew Brees in 2018.
Right.
The Eagles right now, completion percentage against them, 74.4. They're allowing the greatest quarterback season of all time right now through 7 weeks.
They'll get that a little under control. I mean, there's going to be a game. Are they?
I don't see that at all.
Yeah, they will. It's not going to maintain
that pace. I don't see it getting under
control. You got Daniel Jones twice still. You got Taylor Heineke twice.
For a couple.
I got to go
These
back to Taylor.
These aren't automatic wins now.
Taylor Heineke.
But they're really bad quarterbacks.
Taylor Heineke's not bad, though. Taylor Heineke can play ball.
Yes, he is.
He can play ball.
Stop saying that?
I'm just going back to
it,
John, because he can play ball. He plays ball.
He can play XFL ball. Okay.
I mean, this guy's throwing some dimes to Terry McLaurin, man. I don't know.
Yeah, I like him as a backup.
You could throw dimes to Terry McLaurin, man. Maybe.
You're right. Well, thank you for being confident in my football abilities.
Of course, always.
And
always.
By the way, I don't think that the Giants and the Washington football team on the schedule are automatic wins at all.
No.
At all anymore. After watching this team,
I don't think
they beat Detroit on Sunday. How do you like that?
I mean,
I don't think they... Deuce Staley gets his revenge.
Well, listen,
you might
be right, because the Detroit Lions are literally three different football plays from being 3-4.
That may be the case, but they are the Lions.
Right, but they're as close to being a 3-win football team as the Eagles are to being probably we should be like a 3-win football
team. And against great teams, by the way.
Yeah, like, they're playing really good teams.
The Ravens are a great team, you know?
Ravens, and they had a lead on the Rams in the fourth quarter, I think. Late in
it. So
this
Jared
is not
Goff
a gimme.
Goff
this
threw
is
the interception.
Well,
it was
but
like
still,
a,
it's yeah, the Lions.
The Eagles will have two,
it's the Lions.
Eagles will have two interceptions on Sunday. I'm saying it now. Eagles will pick off Jared Goff twice. Wow, John says four.
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 Four picks. Yeah, four.
Sorry, so real quick, John. We'll do predictions, John. Score prediction, Eagles, Lions.
Lions 21.
Okay.
Eagles 16.
Ooh. Exactly. Something like that.
All right, Tech.
So wait, John knows.
All right, Tech,
so
go
wait,
ahead.
Hold on. The Eagles get four picks.
That's right.
16 points.
It sounds like the 2021 Eagles.
That makes sense.
In a weird way, it makes a lot of sense.
In a weird way, perfect.
Because they're going to give him right back.
And here, I can't say four interceptions, but Jared Goff is going to give this team four turnovers, and they're going to lose this game.
Tech, score.
I can't give you a score.
Come on, give me a score.
I can't give you
a score. You're picking the Lions. You got to give me a score.
I'll say 27-19.
27-19, 21-16. Vince, what do you got?
It's going to be like 23-16 Lions. It's going to be dumb.
I'm the lone wolf here?
Yeah.
Oh. We're all going Detroit.
I'm going 24-23 Birds on an Elliott field goal as time expires.
Which is pathetic. By the way,
but it's still going to be a win.
Detroit, it's equally pathetic.
But here's the thing.
They've been
within a late score against really good teams. So they're going to actually get the late score against a bad team is my reasoning.
All right.
Prem, I kind of want that to happen now because that would mean two heartbreaking losses in Detroit by field goal this year.
Yes.
So I'm fine with that.
Yes, yes. I think we get a nice little feel-good win before losing five of our next
six. Well, no, it's a feel-good if they lose, though, because of the Dolphins pick.
Yeah, I will say this. I am rooting
valid
for Detroit to win this game against the Eagles. And I'll tell you why. Because I would rather them get that number one pick to move into the number one slot. Right now, Detroit is the worst team. If you give Detroit a win,
that's a good point.
Now Miami's got the shot at getting that number one overall pick.
If Howie's tanking, that's what Howie wants. Howie Roseman, if he is tanking, wants to lose this game.
Yeah, you're right. But I think that Jalen Hurts and all those guys have a lot of pride. And even though that hasn't really translated as much on the field, Jason Kelce is still center snapping the ball. He's going to give his all. These guys are going to give their all. Some of these vets in the defense, even though they don't look good, they're going to give their all.
I'll tell you who else I didn't think
football's the hardest. Good. Football's the hardest sport to actually tank in because players are out there. They're gladiators, man.
I was watching
it's different than basketball.
Somebody on Twitter put out some film. And it was offensive line based. It wasn't Baldy, but it was Baldy-like.
Yeah, I love his breakdown. Love his breakdown. And his finger.
And they showed Lane Johnson and Jordan Mailata all day getting destroyed. Lane Johnson destroyed.
Well, Lane's been out with it. He's got a head case problem. He's been out.
Right.
So he probably wasn't
fully
there.
Seth Joyner said before the game that he didn't think he'd be mentally ready to play, and he was absolutely right.
That's what I mean. I didn't mean to be like insensitive about it. What I mean is if you're out for a few weeks for your mental issues, you're right back in a road game against a good home team, at least the Raiders are. So I don't know.
A fantastic pass rush.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm actually going to go in the moment here and say something else.
In the moment, okay.
I am going to go in the moment here.
In the moment.
I think Andre Dillard could end up being better than Jordan Mailata.
Oh, no.
I think that ship has already sailed, though.
Oh, listen. No, Tech.
I know, John.
Jordan Mailata.
John, well, I deal with
Jordan
this every
Mailata
week,
got
John.
Demolished yesterday. Over and over again. Over and then look lost in pass coverage. I mean, the guy, I don't know. I just don't
Tech,
know.
Tech, was it his first game back at left tackle?
Oh, you're talking about Lane Johnson?
No.
Are you talking about Mailata?
Johnson's on right.
But isn't his first
game
then
playing
know what?
Left tackle since week one.
I would have rather have had him and Dillard out there than him and Lane Johnson.
Okay.
I moved Mailata back to the other side.
That might have worked out the same or probably about worse. You know, like I think they were just going to get hammered no matter what the combination was.
They're
really,
right.
Which is just
the Raiders
ridiculous.
Are really good pass rushers. That's what you expect. But pass to your point, it did not pass the Mailata just got paid as a left tackle sniff test.
No.
Got me a little worried.
Yeah.
Especially when I was watching this thing and they were just circling Lane Johnson, circling Mailata, and it's play after play. Okay, watch this snap and then get beat. Next snap, getting beat. Next snap. They're just standing there like turnstiles on multiple plays that I couldn't even believe I was seeing, and I didn't see it in real time. I saw it once in real time.
Yeah. It wasn't pretty. I mean, this football team is in disarray.
Vince, I'm happy that we do these crossovers at Last Out Media Studios because Tech and Prem just gave us the greatest idea for what we're going to do at the Henry James Saloon for the Lions game. It is going to be the happy either way Halloween party.
I like it.
Because if they lose, this is the moment that we get to turn the car around and turn it into a full-on tank party season, and I'm on board. That's fine by me. Let's go find out who can play and who can't. And if not, then then we correct the ship a little bit, and you know, maybe it is like just hey, this team has to play a lot of bad teams to kind of like make us feel a little bit safer about this.
How do they correct the ship? How do they do it? I don't know.
Because, gentlemen, I tweeted out this morning, and I want to see how everyone feels. I have watched now three Lions games today, and are so better well-coached than this team.
Oh, boy.
Like, not a joke. It is from head to toe, everyone knows where to go. It's just their talent level. Like, everyone is on board. Everyone wants to kill everybody on Sunday. That team is 0-7, and they don't care.
They're desperate. It's a desperate football team
at home.
I don't think the Eagles can win this football game. I just don't.
I don't see
crazy
it.
That
I mean,
say that,
that, that's the opinion that makes sense given the recent circumstances. I just think it's a game that they're going to find a way to win because you got to win at least five games this year.
Well,
this
but what is what is it? What is it? What does it tell you guys when I can maybe even confidently say Dan Campbell is a better coach right now than Nick Sirianni? A winless team is better coached than what we're watching.
That's pathetic, by the way. Yeah, it really
it's
is.
It's not a good reflection of reality for
us. It's extremely sad.
Yeah, it is.
To come to that realization.
So they got to be sellers at the deadline. I mean, I want to see Fletch get traded.
It's a shame Miles Sanders got hurt because he was my top trade bait.
Well, it's only
a low ankle sprain.
It's a low ankle sprain.
Well, hopefully he'll be back. He's one that I would chop.
Two weeks.
Well, let me throw this out, okay, because this hit me today. You trade Jason Kelce.
I was going to say Kelce is another candidate as well.
I hate to say it, but I saw Zach Ertz with all this open field around him, scampering for 47 yards and a touchdown.
I know.
Not like this.
As much as it makes me sick, I see the guy, the player that he is, and I go, he's the best center in football in a lot of metrics still. Yeah. Everything I see about Kelce, still the best center in the league.
Wow.
Somebody wants that guy. I mean, he doesn't cost you a lot on the salary cap.
True.
You got nothing going on. You drafted Landon Dickerson to replace him, and he's healthy. So you got all the things there in place to go and move Kelce right now and get something decent.
Dickerson don't look good at all, though.
Well,
he doesn't
look good
at all.
Well, if this is in a tank theory, this should be what you do
who
in
cares?
A tank theory. Right. I mean, Kelce, it would make sense.
I don't know who wants a center at the deadline. It's more than likely going to retire if they try and trade
true,
him.
True. That's a good point.
That's the thing. Would he retire?
Dude, you trade Jason Kelce out of that locker room, see ya.
That's a real tank move. That's a real tank move, right?
I'm happy to do that, by the way.
Well, you know, I mean, it's amazing how things change in 6 weeks. You know, think about week one, how we felt after that blasting of the Falcons.
I don't think the next 6 weeks are going to change much for the positive. I got to tell you.
They'll be 1-5 over the next
year. How about this? I'm going to go in the moment again and say something else.
Okay.
In the moment.
I think that the Phillies will be a better team before the Eagles are.
That's
at
fair.
At this point.
They have more of a core.
Oh, they
like
got
a
they
playoff
got,
team?
They got
just bad?
Yes. No, I think the Phillies are a playoff team before the Eagles
well,
are.
Well, here's the thing.
Bet.
Here's the thing, right? Look at the fact that the Atlanta Braves made it to the World Series, right?
And the Phillies were in it with the Braves
and not only
until
that,
the last week or so.
What that tells me is that even though the NL East, this is just a quick baseball sidebar, even though the NL East had the combined worst record in baseball, it's because was the competition level better than we thought? Because you get your team that won that division with 88 wins is in the World Series.
Yeah.
And they beat the defending world champions to get there. So it's more of a reflection on how, if the Phillies bullpen was just, like we said before.
If the Phillies can get a legit closer, another reliever, a middle of the order bat, all of a sudden, they're a better team in this city.
I agree with
than
you.
The Eagles
I think
are.
The Phillies will make the playoffs before the Eagles do again.
Yep.
No, I don't believe that.
No?
Really?
No, the Phillies are cursed. I mean, they're organizationally rotten in every way, but and
I hear
the
you
Eagles
on that.
Are too.
Yeah, yeah.
But to turn a baseball franchise over and to turn the Eagles over, I mean, it's a lot faster to do it in football.
All the Phillies need, in my opinion, is a closer.
Right, I think the Phillies are closer right now.
A closer,
than the Eagles
two, closer
are.
And two starters.
All they need to do is upgrade their terrible bullpen.
No, here's why.
Right, and it'd be great.
Here's why.
What happened?
Listen,
they
here's why.
The bullpen.
Here's why. Because in 150 years of baseball, right, 150 since 1876, okay, roughly.
Right, all right.
Yeah.
They just blew more saves than any team in the history of the sport. So if you take that into account and you say, all right, well, if they were just half of that, meaning half worst in the history of 150 years of one sport, they win the division which the team is representing the National League in the World Series.
Right.
So, yes, you need to upgrade your pitching. The offense did enough. They blew 30 saves.
Yeah, I think that they're closer than the Eagles are.
But how many saves did they blow the year before?
Not record, not
they were
baseball.
Close. They were on a historic rate in 2020.
I can't take this anymore. They won 82 games.
Right.
82 games.
Yeah.
You know why the Braves won 88? Because they're the best, one of the best players in baseball got injured way too early.
Absolutely.
Okay?
You're right about that.
That Braves team was stacked from the beginning. And I'm sorry, are we rewriting what we just I barely watch but can know by the box scores and the highlights day in and day out that that team and Joe Girardi couldn't win against anyone?
No, you're
at
right.
The end.
You're right.
Anyone. So let's
Aaron
not get
stinks.
That they're so close to a World Series.
I'm not saying that.
But
he's saying
they're
playoffs.
Closer than the Eagles. Atlanta's
not that far of a drive, but outside.
I mean, what's 82 plus 30, though? That's how many wins they could have had.
How on earth can you match the talent that the Mets or the Braves have at all in 1 year?
Yeah, it's not realistic.
They are Rhys Hoskins. Can't play baseball. Like, what are we talking about here?
I mean, Rhys, by a lot of metrics, dude, before he got hurt, he was a very key part of the lineup.
Well, I'm dealing in with it now. And by the way, the Kingery deal that everyone told me amazing steal. That's what I'm trying to make here. The one biggest improvement that they made was signing Zach Wheeler.
Well, that's why they got Mattingly's kid. Yeah, they fix all this. It's in the blood. It's in the guy's blood. Of course, they're gonna be world champs in 2 years, guys.
All right, let's get to
I'm just
let's get to the Sixers and the Flyers as we enter the center right now.
Enter the center.
Yes! And the Sixers win it
with Tech and Prem.
Bang, the Flyers win.
The Vet Alumni.
All right, the Sixers, they look good against bad teams. I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
Well, it should be 3-0. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Look, lead the whole game against Brooklyn.
Embiid, he's already dealing with a knee thing and an ankle thing.
He will be for the rest of his career.
I expect him to be more dependable this season. They need him to be dependable.
65 games. I need Joel to give me 65 games. And they'll win, of those 65, they'll win 47 of those. And then the other 17 games, you got to just split. And you have 50 wins.
Well,
that's the path
26,
to me.
30,
that's the path
and
for me.
33 minutes. 26, 30, and 33 minutes.
Yeah,
so he's increasing his minutes each game.
Right.
But, you know, he's got to get up to that 36, 38 minute. You don't think that's going to happen?
Yeah, it might. They'll be the 4 or the 5 seed. And they'll probably have to see a team like Atlanta or Miami maybe in the first round, and maybe they get bounced again by the second round. I mean, they're not going to go far with this Ben Simmons situation without a real point guard.
Well, the Ben Simmons situation, all right, it was muted a little bit this week, all right? They now it's a mental health issue, okay?
Yeah, right, of course it
is. He told the team and Embiid and the coach that he wants to come back, but he needs to get professional help first. So... John, what are you feeling about Ben Simmons returning to the team and actually playing with this team?
Got him.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I feel.
They need him to play right now. They need to and he needs to play for himself to get the hell out of there. Like, he's just going to be sitting around for months. You can't do, oh, my back hurts from not playing any basketball and being totally fine for months.
I appreciate anyone who is, you know, battling any type of, you know, anything to kind of go out and clear their head, or they're not sure what they're going through, or if it's really happening,
this is a story. This is a story.
Whatever it is in terms of if they have a ton of social anxiety or whatever it is, it's Ben's that type of guy. I get it, but I have a hard time believing anything he says because it's too convenient. They literally pretty much laid this out before it happened. Like, everybody was talking about, oh, what if he fakes an injury, this or that. So, like,
I know.
Listen,
man,
if it's genuine, I have a ton of respect for Joel Embiid. So if Joel Embiid tells me to shut the fuck up and say, hey, just worry about this, I'm going to do that as a fan. And by the way, that's how easy it would have been, honestly. I think we would have welcomed him back fine if he would have just come out and said this. Because we have done that many times in this town. But whatever. Go Daryl Morey, keep holding on, keep fighting that fight. It's going to come through. Hold. Even if it takes you an entire year, I don't care. Hold.
I just think it hurts the team to do that. I really think that at some point, now I get it, right? You look at you know, these so-called trade packages. You look at like a team like Minnesota who has like a D'Angelo Russell, or you look at Indiana who's got like Caris LeVert. You look at these guys and you think, eh, I don't know if I want to jump to do that deal. I don't know. You want to wait until Lillard is unhappy or Beal is unhappy or something like that. And I get it. But this team right now, does anybody here think that this team is better than a fifth seed at right now?
They could be the four. I mean, I could see, I can make a case for them being the four. But, you know, you're probably looking at another second round exit.
Yeah.
It's exactly.
Most likely. I mean, I think the ceiling for this team is you lose in seven games in the second round, just like we've seen.
Because they didn't improve enough. They brought back the same squad.
Well, I like Niang.
I told you, George Niang is my guy.
I like him.
He's a total upgrade from Mike Scott.
Oh, yeah.
He gives you a lot off the bench. And Andre Drummond is a legit backup to Embiid, somebody that we didn't have a legit backup. You don't like Andre Drummond, John?
Listen, I didn't believe that he could entertain me as much as he has. So
he's a good player. I'm going,
okay, this is nice. Andre Drummond is, I mean, Greg Monroe hot, heavy.
I don't know about that. I think he's, I think he can do what Dwight Howard can do, but he's not an idiot. You know what I mean? I think that's the difference.
Kind of an idiot.
You think Drummond's an idiot?
Kind of an idiot.
Really? He's on the idiot bubble.
I haven't seen that yet.
Here's what I would go back and do. I think it's probably on YouTube somewhere. Just type Joel Embiid versus Andre Drummond.
Well, yeah, we know
that. I remember that game, yeah.
But that's Andre Drummond as like a star center in the league. He's not that anymore. He's a relegated backup.
Serviceable.
A guy that gives you serviceable minutes. I know he was horrific with the Lakers last season. I saw that note. I do get that. But he is, I mean, Dwight Howard's horrific for them right now. I look at it like, you know, Drummond is an upgrade from what you had.
Right. But it's not going to make a difference between you getting the 2 seed and the 5 seed.
No, it is not. It's not a difference maker. Nothing they did makes a difference. No. And that's the problem here.
The question is if Tyrese Maxey truly overachieves, then we have a whole different conversation.
I like Maxey a lot.
He creates his own shot, takes it right down the court. Doesn't pass it, takes his own shot, kind of reminds me. Now, he's way different than AI. AI was transcendent. But he looks like AI in how he moves to the hoop off the jump sometimes.
He relies on that floater.
Right, that's what I mean.
I think to your point, I don't think he's... this is one thing we can like 100% guess each other up on. Because if he can perfect that pullback jumper, that does look like AI or like kind of reminds me of it just a little bit. Yes.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about a completely different layout. I love that when Maxey's on the court, for some reason, maybe it's only been two games, but from even just, I don't know, Joel Embiid looks a lot more comfortable. I think he is on his own. I kind of wish that he did take the surgery. I get it. He's probably been through a million of them and didn't, you know, just wanted to go chill or do whatever. But man, it's just, maybe he can do it middle season. Anyway, but Maxey is special.
He is.
Maxey is a special player. Yeah,
yeah, he works hard.
Yeah. That was a great draft. They got him, Isaiah Joe, B-Ball Paul. It was a really good, underrated
draft for
the Sixers. Yeah. It really was.
I'm having fun with Isaiah Joe, too. I mean, I like his minutes so far.
He's one of my favorite guys. He's now stepped into last year's Maxey role, where he's taking the minutes that Maxey got last year.
Right.
And that's good. And Thybul is still good. Korkmaz has taken a leap forward.
He's become a fourth quarter closer.
Right.
Don't look at Oklahoma City.
Right.
A dreadful team. Same thing with the Pelicans. He's a dreadful team.
I know.
And that's who they're beating.
You're supposed to beat dreadful teams when you're a playoff contender.
Right. You go up against KD and Harden and you lose that game.
Well, they should have won that game.
Yeah.
Did we get the better Curry brother? That was my next question.
Well, no.
Clearly. Pretty good.
I mean, Seth is great, but Steph is still just...
I'm kidding. Seth is a good player. He really is. Seth is a good player.
Well, it's one of those weird things, because when you go through Philly sports history, it's always you got the wrong brother, you know?
right.
When you have the wrong brother, and the wrong brother is Seth Curry, you made out pretty well.
Yeah, you made out right.
It's not Mike Maddox, yeah.
Yeah,
or Mike McMahon.
Oh, yeah,
you like that?
Yeah. At this point, the Sixers are what they are. I don't see them getting, just like you said, beyond a second round.
Yeah, they're
in the
a second round team. You agree, Vince? You
think yeah, that's all they are right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No. I mean, you could get lucky and have that playoff energy that leads you to the conference finals, maybe.
Right.
I'm not going to rule it out, but then you're going to have to probably play Brooklyn.
Need another star on this team. Embiid needs another star. And you know what? They had it in Jimmy Butler,
hey,
and they
look,
blew it.
There's still, a, trade, there's still a trade deadline coming. They do. They did. There's still a trade deadline coming up in the NBA in a couple months, and maybe they'll be within
range.
Got to
wait all the way. To, what,
listen, but maybe they'll go get somebody. You never. Daryl Morey wants to win now. He doesn't want to hear that they're a 4 or 5 seed that's going to get a second round next. He doesn't want to hear that. He wants to win now.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to do what they can at the deadline and make something happen.
Well, yeah, Simmons isn't moving now. It's not like he's
right.
working
that's
his
a deadline
way to be
deal.
Back on the
that's
team.
A deadline
there's
deal.
Not a market for him that they're willing to accept. He's going to come back. So they need the story to change, and people have goldfish brains. Mm-hmm. So you can do that, like
especially in the NBA.
Yeah,
right.
So it's right. easy. You go, hey, just play for a couple of months. You'll be an all-star. We'll get you out of here. Everyone's gonna be professional about it, and you'll live your life. Like,
Add Bradley Beal to this roster, please. Get me Bradley Beal in here.
Oh my God,
get me a difference maker.
I'm tired of hearing Malcolm Brogdon's name being brought up way too much.
Yeah. Same.
He's not a difference maker at all. No. He's injury prone.
What do you think the like? Okay, we already established Ray Brogdon's like is CJ McCollum the threshold for like? Okay, that would make a difference.
That's what Tech thought. I think a few weeks ago.
No,
and then
I
you
mean,
kinda
look,
go up from there.
Yeah, right.
I think because I was just so aggravated with where we were at.
Right.
Ben,
yeah.
That I'm like, I'll take CJ McCollum. But if I really sit and think about it, it's like CJ McCollum's not really a difference maker.
Not
he's not
going to
run
like,
your offense. He's not a point guard.
Double Toby.
Yeah, you can get CJ McCollum, but now you still have the same problem. You don't have a point guard.
Yeah.
So that's all right. The Flyers, okay? We dibble and dabble in Flyers.
Very lightly.
It's the beginning of the season.
John doesn't
right?
like it.
Well, look, Carter Hart.
I just hate to. Yeah, well, it's a love hate thing. But yeah.
I
hear you.
Well,
I
same
hear
with
you.
Me. Look, I just. Look.
But they beat the expansion Kraken, man.
Well, everyone's beat. Look, they're a punching bag. All right,
I know, you beat
a punching bag.
I know.
So Cam Atkinson, he's a sizable upgrade from Voracek, okay? But this is still a team that is like a playoff team. They'll get into the playoffs, and that's it. I mean, I don't see vast improvement. The defense, a little better.
Yeah.
It's a little bit, still same kind of mistake. Sandheim, he's a joke, that guy. You got guys on this team give up way too many penalties. They're constantly giving up power play goals.
I
never seen anything like it.
I know.
So they caught
a tough loss to start the season, though.
Well, their core guys are scoring more. So that's good.
Yeah.
The Farabees, Konechny, Giroux, they're all scoring more than they have in a long time. That's
positive. Well, know why?
Why is that?
Jake Voracek is in there sucking up all the goddamn air.
Yeah, he stinks, Voracek. And right now he stinks. Wherever he's at, where do we trade him to? He stinks there. Wherever we traded him.
I don't
to.
Know.
Yeah, because he stinks, and they should have kept Jeff Carter. Sorry.
Right.
Anyway. Jeff Carter was awesome, man.
Cam Atkinson comes in, he immediately makes the kind of shots that I always wanted to see guys on this team make that they never do. The easy ones. They always had this problem. They all have a sniper.
Yeah.
Maybe Farabee will develop into that guy. Maybe Konechny. I don't know. But I look at the Flyers. Yeah, they're 2-1.
There's nothing to be that excited about.
Yeah, my excitement level is still very low.
Tech doesn't like the goalie shuffle they do, guys.
I hate it.
He gets upset.
Goalie 1A, 1B? Are you kidding me? You give this guy the franchise money.
Here we
Carter
go.
Carter Hart.
Yeah.
And two games in. Now, they won the game. Okay, they won the game.
And you sit him down.
That Martin Jones started.
They did.
They won that.
That
game.
Which just reinforces they're going to keep doing this shit.
They're going to keep. Martin Jones stinks, okay? And he's not even as good as the guy they had last year. Who was the guy last year?
Yeah.
Moose. Right. He was in, and he was actually decent. But he's not decent as a 1B. He's a 2.
You know the last time I watched a hockey game from beginning to end?
Yeah, I get it.
Was the last Stanley Cup game the Flyers played in.
Really?
Probably.
Yeah,
there you go.
A lot of people in Philadelphia, by the way, feel this way. I watch it because I don't you know like what pain. Else to do. I have to watch.
You gotta find something else to do.
I can't help it.
If they get to like a conference finals this year, I'll think you'll about pop it turning on.
You'll
it on,
pop it on, yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
I just checked the score.
Yeah, I forgot Voracek was traded. Like, yeah. I was like, oh yeah, that's a thing that happened. Okay.
I think we're about to leave the center, Tech.
Yeah, we're
about to leave the center.
We're about to get out of the center. We got numbers, right?
We got numbers.
All right, let's get the hell out of the center. All right, let's hit the numbers.
Numbers don't lie. Numbers don't lie. You know that the numbers don't lie. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't. Numbers don't lie.
Look at the numbers. The numbers don't lie.
Numbers.
Numbers don't lie. Prem, what do we got?
Well, guys, you'd be surprised to know, well, maybe not surprised to know, that the Eagles haven't been 2-5 since 1999. So it's officially the worst start for the Birds since Big Red's first year as head coach when they were 5-11.
So you're saying they're going to turn it around?
Well, I'm not quite there yet, John. Our last head coach, Dougie P, was manning the quarterback position that year until November 14th when, you know, Donovan took the reins and we know what happened from there. Funny story how that panned out with Dougie P getting us a chip years after being a joke of a QB. I just find that still so funny to me.
Yeah.
So here we are, 2-5 again, rookie head coach, young quarterback, and they are struggling. I thought it'd be appropriate, guys, to look at some of the numbers for each of these teams after seven games. Oh. So first I'll look at scoring and yards. In 99, they scored an average of just 12.8 points per game in their first seven, and averaged only 206 yards of offense per game.
Wow.
This is supposed to make you feel a little better about this year's team, who has averaged 22.7 points per game and gained 347 yards. But when adjusted for garbage time scores and yards, I trim off 7 points and 100 yards from those totals, which I think is fair, about a touchdown per, about 100 yards per. The numbers are like eerily close when you adjust for the garbage time. The 99 team was a mess. This team is a mess too. We've already recounted that. The fact that it's more of an offensive league now too versus back then doesn't make this comparison any better for the 2021.
No.
Because the numbers should be way more inflated.
Yes.
Defensively now. In 99, they allowed 319.5 yards per game, but actually only 18.3 points per game. The defense kept them in games. Despite a 2-5 start, they actually had 2 1-point losses in that stretch.
Ugh.
In week one, they lost to the Cardinals, and in week four, they lost to the Giants by 1 point. This season, the defense is worse, allowing 360.7 yards per game and 26.4 points per game, which is good for 24th in the league, one spot ahead of Detroit, who we see this Sunday, and actually a spot behind the woeful Giants, who are also 2-5. This year's team is 29th in run defense. They're allowing almost the same amount in 99, though. They allow 133 yards a game on the ground this year. In 99, they allowed 135 yards per game. So, bad teams, the story just is the same with bad teams. But we haven't seen this in 21 seasons, guys.
No.
So, eerily similar, maybe worse when you factor in the garbage time. Few last notes. In 99, they had 2 turnovers per game in the first 7. This year's club only has 7 total and actually a 0 turnover differential, which is encouraging with how it has been with these teams. One encouraging factor is they're not giving the ball away as much. But you never want to keep comparing a franchise's 2 worst seasons in a 22-year stretch. Here we are, guys. The team in 99 managed to claw out 5 wins, and in their defense, Donovan was largely on the bench for the first 7. Hurts has been playing, but Andy definitely is not his mentor. Fellas, numbers don't lie.
Whew.
Numbers don't lie, and big difference in that 99 team versus this team is they actually had players.
Yeah.
This is true.
Deuce Staley.
Deuce, Doc, Trotter.
Douglas.
Douglas. Who is...
Was Corey Simon on the team yet? No, he wasn't.
No,
he was
0-1. I can't remember who the corner was, though, but it was somebody good.
Oh, Bobby Taylor and Troy Vincent were still around. Yeah, Bobby Taylor.
We have Buckhalter yet? Was he a part of it?
I think he was drafted 0-2. And the Buckhalter play that I always remember from that era was the Monday night game against the Dolphins when it was rainy and he does that huge jump into the end zone. If you guys remember that clip.
Oh, man.
When I hear Buckhalter's name, I just instantly think of that clip. But yeah, I hope that the comparisons to 99 don't have to continue on this segment. However, we'll be revisiting this later in the season to see how it compares after 14 games we'll do.
Yeah.
Now, my biggest curiosity is, in 2043, is it Joe Flacco or Jalen Hurts that leads the Eagles to the Super Bowl? That's what I'm wondering about as head coach.
Oh, it's definitely Carson Wentz.
Oh!
He's finally made amends with Philadelphia and he's coming back.
Yes, he's coming back.
And Ertz will join him and get those last 12 catches. all right, picks.
It's time for Prem's Picks.
These games are a blowout, a human lock. You can bet your children's unborn children on these games.
Prem's Picks. You didn't have a bad week, did you?
Well, I got one win of my two picks.
All right,
this week,
had one.
Albeit at the Birds' expense, the Raiders easily covered the 3 points, which I had them doing, winning by 11. But the Bengals went into Baltimore and won, which I thought that was my gimme pick.
Oh, right, that was the. Yes.
I thought, and I mean, I'm not that surprised. The Bengals are a team on the rise. So I'm only 5-7 through 12 picks this year. We know I'm not used to sporting
five
a losing
and
record.
Seven.
I'm not used to sporting a losing record on this segment, Tech. In 50 episodes, we've only done this 5 times.
I believe the last picks, when you debuted it for the season,
I cursed
with these guys.
I cursed myself.
You've been cursed ever since.
I have.
Ever since.
Yeah, you were talking to me, baby.
I was. Well, because, like we said earlier, this is our 50th episode. I've only done this segment with a losing record maybe 5 episodes.
Right.
Overall.
True.
Across 3 sports.
Yeah, that is true.
Anyway, listen. A 2-0 win this or 2-0 mark this week gets me back on track. Gets me to 7-7. Right. Okay, it's plenty of time to finish hot, guys.
Okay,
here are your Week 8 locks.
Locks.
Lots of lopsided matchups this week, man. I tried to go with 2 picks that aren't straight up gimmies. Some big spreads this week. When you look, disrespectful spreads, actually.
Yeah.
That said, I will confidently take the Steelers to go on the road and cover 4 points against the Browns, who are struggling and hurt right now.
All right.
It's no guarantee Baker Mayfield plays this week. He has been practicing. I don't really think Case Keenum is beating Pittsburgh. They may have Nick Chubb back, but I think Big Ben goes to a place where he always has won, is used to winning, gets a much needed win for the Steelers, who will try to remain in the wild card discussion. Steelers by 4 in Cleveland. I think they win this game by a touchdown clean, 26-20, 27-21, something like that. Lock.
Lock.
Next, guys, give me the Titans, who've been playing some great football as they visit Carson Wentz and the Colts in Indy.
Oh, boy.
It's a pick'em game, man. Tennessee's only a 1-point favorite, which is actually an Indianapolis line. But give me them straight up in Indy to win again. I think it's a game that could come down to some big plays late. And I just tend to trust Derrick Henry and the Tannehill-A.J. Brown connection in that situation more than I trust an average Colts team. I know they beat a good San Francisco team, but I see a step back in Indy this week. Definitely see some turnovers for Carson Wentz when he hasn't had many. I see a couple this week. Titans straight up in Indy to win. Lock.
Lock.
So to recap, we have the Steelers to cover 4 points and win against the Brownies.
Lock.
The Titans to win straight up in Indy over Wentz and his new squad.
Lock.
2 AFC road winners to get me on track, guys. This has been Prem's NFL Picks.
All right, and, you know, it's our 50th show.
It is.
I want to say, John, Vince, you guys play a role in our continued growth, and we totally appreciate it. We love you guys.
Well, yeah, we love you guys, too. We think you guys are amazing. It's been awesome to hang out
And
do a couple of shows and be live at Henry James. And, like,
definitely.
The energy's just great outside of, you know, Tech wearing a Raiders hat. We're looking forward to 50 more shows at minimum.
Yeah,
let's
man, for
it.
Sure. And we're back at Henry James this Sunday for Eagles Lions.
There it is.
In Roxboro, have a drink.
Now that you've done your 50th episode, you're a real podcast.
Oh, well, that's good to know. That's good to know.
The marker for, like, do you make it or not is if you get to 50, then I think you're a real podcast. But then to be a great podcast, you got to get to 100. Like,
yep,
that's the rule.
Absolutely.
We're working on it.
Well, yeah, we're only 1 year in, and we got many more to go, it feels like. So, and you guys have been an integral part of that, so we appreciate
it. Yes.
Been cool.
See you next week.
Vet Alumni.